church. If you didn't bring it today, make sure you do it tomorrow. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 36, we're going to read a few verses and then jump right in. Jeremiah chapter 36, in verse number 1 it says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that his word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee and from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, and that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." Let's pray. God, we sure thank you for the day. God, thank you for the fun we've had already this morning. God, thank you for the good singing that we've heard. God, thank you for every young person being here today. God, I pray that you would speak to their heart. God, I pray that you would convict them, show them the importance of your word in their life. God, I pray if there's one here this morning that's not sure that they're on the way to heaven, God, you would convict their heart. God, show them that their need is for you, and that you're the only way, the only possible way they can go to heaven. God, please bless. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may not know a whole lot about Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. It is it's a pretty good-sized book, but I feel like as young people, or for myself, when I was a younger person or in Sunday school or in junior church, Jeremiah wasn't really talked about a whole lot. So you may not know very much about him. So we're going to kind of start back at the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, and I'm just going to give you a real quick run-through and bring you up to speed where we are at. Here, Jeremiah, in chapter number 1, Jeremiah is there, and God comes and speaks to Jeremiah in verse number 5 of chapter 1, and said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In verse number 6 says, "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." First of all, we see Jeremiah's calling at a young age. He says, "I'm a child," and many people believe, there's no way to know for sure, but many people believe that Jeremiah was about the age of 17 years old in verse number 6. And that would not be very much older than many of you in here, maybe a few years, 5-6 years, maybe at the most. And here's Jeremiah, and God puts a call on his life at a very young age. And let me say this, God can use young people. God can use young people. And I'll give you an illustration of that. There was a fourth grade boy in Bergman, Arkansas. His dad was the pastor of Ozark Baptist Church, and that boy went to public school there in Bergman. And one day he took a gospel track and went into the secretary's office, and he gave that secretary a gospel track and said, "Would you come to church with me on Sunday?" And that lady, that secretary there, she said, "Oh, we'll see if I come. I don't know if I have time, blah, 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 blah." And so she didn't end up coming that Sunday, and the little boy began to work on her and went back in there and said, "You didn't come to church on Sunday." And she said, I know, I didn't have time, I got busy." And so she said, "Will you come this Sunday?" And anyway, long story short, that lady ended up coming to church and getting saved. And she began to pray for her husband. And that man was a very, very, very mean man. He was a very ungodly man. He had long hair. He chewed tobacco. He drank alcohol, all of those things. He just wasn't your good, typical guy. He wasn't a church-going man. He wasn't saved, for sure. And Miss Sherry, that lady, the secretary, began to pray for her husband. And as she began to pray, after a few months went by, the preacher would come over to the house, and he would visit this man, and the man would say, "I don't want any part of that church stuff. I don't want anything to do with that God stuff." And after time, that man ended up getting saved, and that man began to grow in the Lord, and he went to Canada to be a missionary. About 5 or 6, 10 years later, somewhere in there, went to Canada to be a missionary, and a few years after that, came back to his home church there, Ozark Baptist Church in Bergman, and took the pastorate. And he was a pastor there, and one day he came and to the church, and there was a water leak in the yard. In the yard line at the church there was a water leak, and water was blowing everywhere all over the church yard. And he called this plumber, and the plumber said, "Yeah, I'll be right over there." And he went over there, and he fixed the yard line there in the churchyard, and as he got finished, that pastor said, "Hey, why don't you come to church this Sunday?" And that man said, "Well, we've kind of been looking for a church," and he said, "Well, we'll see." And so a few weeks later, that man brought his family, and they came to church, and they began to come back on Sunday mornings, and anyway, through long story short, the mom got saved, and then the three boys got saved, they begin to grow, and then they end up going to Alaska with that pastor to start a church and came back. And long story short, that's how my family got in church. There was a man named George Smith, when they got saved, and his wife got saved from a gospel tract that a fourth grader handed a lady at church or at school. That fourth grade boy gave a gospel tract to that secretary, and that is the reason that I stand here before you today. The reason that I am able to be here, the privilege that I have to be a Christian, the privilege I have to be saved, is because a fourth grader handed out a gospel tract. And young people can be used of God. Young people can be used of God. We've seen Jeremiah's calling. Then I want you to notice Jeremiah's cry. Look at, or you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord." Jeremiah's cry was exactly what the Lord put on his heart, and he began to cry to the people that had turned away from God. God's own people, his own children, the children of Israel, the ones he brought out of Egypt, you know that story, and they have turned against God. And Jeremiah the prophet begins to cry, saying, "Repent and turn back to God. Repent, turn back to God." That was his cry, that was his message. And then I want you to notice his cause, Jeremiah's cause. In verse number 32, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And here it's God's people, God's children, children of Israel, and after all he's done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, providing for them in the wilderness, he went before them in battle when they entered into the promised land, after all that God had done for them, and it says, "Yet they have forsaken me days without number." And so we pick up in chapter number 36 where our text is, and from chapter 1 to chapter number 36, Jeremiah the prophet has been preaching the same message to these people, the children of Israel, for 22 years. For 22 long years, Jeremiah has got up day after day and preached the same message to these people, and these hard-hearted people say, "I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with this religion thing. I don't want anything to do with Christianity. I don't want anything to do with that." And you may be sitting here this morning, and even at a young age, you may be saying, "You know, I'm here. Mom and Dad made me come. But I don't want anything to do with this church stuff. I don't want anything to do with this religious stuff. I'm going to live my own life, and I'm going to live my own way." And we'll find out later how you turn out when you live that way. We'll figure out what happened to the children of Israel because they did that. So here is Jeremiah, and we read in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year," chapter 36, "and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying." So here's Jeremiah. He's been preaching for 22 long years the same message, day after day. People reject it. And here's Jeremiah, and God comes to him and says, "Jeremiah, I want you to write down the message that you've preached for so long. I want you to write it down." So he comes, and Jeremiah comes to his servant Baruch and says, "Get you a pen and get you some rolls, some books." And Jeremiah begins to speak the word of the Lord, and Baruch the servant begins to write it down. He begins to write down everything that Jeremiah says. And then it goes on. I want to preach on this thought for a minute. A word from God. A word from God. And that's exactly what God gave Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke, and Baruch wrote down. It was a word from God. And we have a word from God today. So let me ask you, have you spent time in a word, the word of God today? As an individual, as a person, have you personally spent time in God's word today? If you can read, you have no excuse. If you can read, there is absolutely no excuse why you haven't spent time in God's word today. Especially if you're a Christian, it is a command to spend time in God's word. How will you ever be close to him if you don't spend time with him? Just like your parents or your friends, if you don't spend time with them, if you don't do things with them, you'll never be close to them. Same principle applies. And here, Jeremiah, he begins to speak, and Baruch writes it down. And I want to give you a few quick points about a word from God. Number one, I want you to notice the purpose of the Scripture, or the purpose of the word. Look at verse number 3, if you have your Bible. It says, "There it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." The purpose of the Word of God is to give us a warning, first of all. The purpose of the Word of God is to give us a warning against what a life without Christ is like. A life without Christ is a miserable life. You go out on the street and find somebody who has an addiction with alcohol, an addiction with drugs, and they're homeless and they don't have, they spend all their money on those things, and I guarantee you, they're miserable. And a life without God is always miserable. Also, the purpose of the Scripture is to give us wisdom as believers on how to live. It's a warning. It's also wisdom. You know, every decision that you ever will make in life, there is wisdom, there is a principle is found in the Word of God. Anybody know how George Washington died? You don't have to answer, but you can think in your mind. Anybody know how George Washington died? He bled to death. He had a virus in his body, and they thought if they would cut his wrist and let a little bit of that blood drain out, they thought the virus would come out through the blood, but that's not what happened at all. As a matter of fact, George Washington bled to death because they thought they were helping him but cut his wrist. But in the Word of God, it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And in every sense, in every aspect of life, if we'll get in the Word of God, there's always principle, there's always help from the Bible. And maybe if Columbus would have spent some time in the Bible, he would have known that the earth wasn't flat. He would have known that it is round. It says that there in the Word of God. The purpose of the Scripture is a warning to say, if you don't get saved, if you don't trust Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. There's no question marks, only a period at the end of that sentence. There is no question marks. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior, young or old, does not matter, you will spend an eternity in a place called hell. And the wisdom of the Scripture says, if you'll just accept Christ as your Savior, you can go to heaven. Number one, I want you to notice the purpose of the Scripture. Number two, I want you to notice the presentation of the Scripture. Look at verse number 10. "Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord." So here it is. Jeremiah tells Baruch, he said, you just wrote all this down. I want you to go to Jerusalem to the temple, and I want you to read this to all the people that they can hear the message that I've already preached. And maybe, just maybe, they may return every man from his evil way. I want you to go read this message as they may return. So the presentation of the Scripture. When we present the Scripture to someone, it gives them life. It gives them hope, but there's always a choice. So you can sit here today and you can hear me preach, you can hear the Word of God read, but at the end of the day, when I get done, you have to make a choice. You can say, I choose to believe that, I choose to accept that, or you can say, you know, this church stuff's really not for me. You know, this religious stuff is really not for me. This whole God thing, I'm just not sure about that. And you must make a choice. When the Word of God is presented, you must make a choice. And when you make that choice, God holds you accountable to that. If you say, no, I'm not interested in this stuff, God says, okay. Then you pay the consequences, and if you die, you spend an eternity in hell. The presentation of Scripture, it gives life and it gives hope, but there's always a choice. Number three, I want you to notice the very poor decision that the king makes. So here Jeremiah gives the word, Baruch writes it down. He goes and reads it in the temple. The men that hear it in the temple said, the king's got to hear this. The king has got to hear what the Lord has said. Even though it's been preached for 22 years, I guess when it was read, they said, he needs to hear this. So they take those scrolls and take them before the king and begin to read them to the king. And the king says, nope, not interested. I want you to notice what the king does, the very poor decision that he makes. The very poor decision. Look in verse number 22. I'm sorry, look in verse number 21. Back up. Verse number 21 says, so the king sent Jehudadai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishamah, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudadai read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood before the king. Verse number 22 says, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudiah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife. and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Can you imagine as the king is sitting here hearing the words of God? Says, nah, I'm not interested in that. Pulls out his penknife and begins to cut on the pages of God's word. Begins to cut them and then throws it in the fire. Throws it in the fire. So today, let me ask you this question. You may not have physically got out your penknife and cut the page of the scriptures. You may not have physically thrown your Bible into the fire. But when you choose daily to reject the Word of God from spending time in it, in essence, that's what you're doing. You're taking God's Word and saying, you know, today I'm just not interested. I'm just going to take it, not physically, take my penknife, throw it in the fire. How sad. How sad that day after day, it may be said of us that we have forsaken God days without number. And even as young people, if you can read, you have absolutely no excuse why you can't spend a few minutes, young or old, in the Word of God. No excuse. A very poor decision that the king made. But I want you to notice verse number 24, and I think this is where most of us fall. Most of us are in this category. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Everybody just standing around watching the king do this, except for two men. We'll read that in verse 25. Everybody said, you know, not really a big deal. No big deal. And, you know, it's just the words of God. And I'm afraid so many of us fall in that category and say, you know, we can just throw our Bible up on the dash in the car. Just no big deal. But we can, you know, it's just when we go outside to play, we just throw it on the picnic table. Or maybe we can lay it down in the grass. It's no big deal. And here these men said, you know, they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants. It was no big deal that the Word of God was just pushed away. It was no big deal at all. And when we in our life say, you know, the Word of God's not that big a deal. A friend of mine said it this way. He said, when you find yourself in a place you ought not be, don't be surprised when you're doing things you ought not do. When you find yourself in a place that you ought not be, don't be surprised when you're doing things you ought not do. And when you find yourself in a place that the Word of God isn't that important anymore, don't be surprised when you have a bad attitude and Mom and Dad get on to you. Don't be surprised when you're fighting with your siblings and Mom and Dad get on to you. Don't be surprised when God comes and put some pressure in your life. Why? Because you're in a place spiritually that you ought not be. The poor decision that the king made. Then I want you to notice the persistence of God. Oh, I am so thankful that God is persistent. Verse number 28 says this, take thee again another roll, and write it in the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And I'm so glad that when God begins to speak to my heart after the first time, sometimes it takes a while for us to catch on. Sometimes it does, for me anyway. Sometimes I'm not a real quick learner. God began to speak to me, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Hang on, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let's wait a minute. And I'm so glad that God doesn't say the first time, okay, I'm done with you. If you can't obey the first time, I'm done with you. No, that's not what he does. The king has just burned the word of God, and then God says, take thee again another roll. I'm going to give you another chance. And you here today may have been cutting at the word of God. You may have been throwing it in the fire, but my friend, have another chance. You have another chance today, this afternoon, tonight, in the morning. You can get up and you can spend some time in the Word of God. I'm so thankful for how persistent God is. But then I want you to notice, lastly, the punishment of the king. The punishment of the king. Verse number 29 says, and he's speaking to the king, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. God said, for 22 long years I've been pleading with you and begging with you. And in 18 times leading up to this, it says, they hearkened not. They hearkened not. They hearkened not. And God said, okay, that's enough. And the king of Babylon in a few short years is going to come in and take over Israel, take over Judah, and the king Jehoiakim will die. His life will be taken from him. The punishment is there because he failed to recognize and failed to take precedent, the word of God take precedence in his life. So today, as young people, whether you're 8, 9, 10, 15, 17, doesn't matter, I'm going to ask you a personal question. What are you going to do with a word from God? What are you going to do with a word from God? Because my friend, I guarantee you, if you continue day after day after day to cut it with your penknife and throw it in the fire, there will be punishment just like for King Jehoiakim. Just like him. You may not physically die. I don't know. God may take your life. I'm not sure. But I do know there will be punishment. Because whom God loveth, he chasteneth. And if you're saved, God loves you. And if you're not saved, God loves you. So what are you going to do with a word from God? The word of God is a roadmap, as I talked about earlier, for every decision in life. Let's say Brother Chad, maybe I went to Brother Chad and said, Brother Chad, I'm driving to Canada. And Brother Chad said, oh, that's great. I got a map for you. So I go, and Brother Chad gives me this map, and man, very detailed. We sit down, we sketch out what routes I'm going to take, which roads I'm going to take, the fastest route, I don't have to pay tolls, amen, stuff like that. For anybody who's ever driven anywhere, you know what I'm talking about. Inexpensive. And then we map it all out. We get ready to go. I go get in the car, and I'm fixing to take off, and you say, you know what? I don't need that. I'll figure it out. I know Canada's pretty much north, so I'll just drive north until I get there. And sometimes that's what we do in life. God's got it all mapped out right here. Got it all mapped out. Every turn, everything we need to do, the spouse we're supposed to marry, the job we're supposed to take, the church we're supposed to attend, the way we're supposed to treat our parents, we say, you know what? I don't need that. I don't need that. My friend, there will be a punishment for that. Will be punishment. Today, what are you going to do with a word from God? One more quick illustration, and I will be done. I will be done. We can go have some lunch. I brought with me some pieces of wood here, and do not judge my craftsmanship from this. I just put this together before I left to come up here from some scraps that were in the churchyard. We talked about prayer all day yesterday, and we're talking about the Word of God right now, and I have another one that's character. And when we spend time in the Word of God, we begin to develop biblical character. Begin to develop that. But before we're saved, we have no life. Honestly, before we accept Christ as our Savior, we have no life. We have physical life. We go to Walmart, we go to the store, we play games, we play basketball, we go play sports and play video games, and we have a physical life, but we have no spiritual life. Inside, we're dead. Inside, we have nothing except for a hungering for God that many times we don't even realize. We have no life. But and let me tell you this, when you have no life spiritually, you're useless to God. You're of absolutely no value to God, but when we accept Christ as our Savior, we then have life. We then begin to develop a Christian walk. We then begin to be usable and moldable for God so that He can do something with us. And right now, this is worth nothing. It's just heavy. It's not worth anything. I can throw it down. Not going to do any good. We could maybe start a fire, Brother Chad, with this. We could help, start a fire up here, but that'd be about it. It's useless. Useless. No value to God. But then when we get saved, when we accept Him as our Savior, when we begin to put the Word of God, get the right one here, we begin to put the Word of God in our life. And then we begin to add some prayer like we talked about yesterday. When we spend time in the Word of God, we begin to develop biblical character. We begin to be molded by God, and so He can use us to do what He has for us to do. It speaks of Jeremiah there. The very first chapter said, I knew thee before you were born. I knew thee before you were taken out of the womb. And God knew each and every one of you before you were born. And He had something for every one of us to do before we were born. We had some thing that He needed you to do. But until you get saved, you're useless to God. And until you begin to develop a walk with God, honestly, you're useless to God. We begin to develop those biblical characters in our life. Let's see if we can get this thing to stand up here. And now, we're useful. There's a difference. Now it's no longer just a piece of wood. And to be honest, right now, this ain't very sturdy. It's pretty wobbly, as you can tell. It's not very sturdy at all. We first get saved, and we first begin to grow, we first begin to add the Word of God in our life and prayer into our life. We're not very sturdy. We're pretty wobbly, as a matter of fact. As we begin to add those things, the Word of God and prayer and biblical character begins to develop in our life, God begins to add just a little bit of pressure here and there. And over time, it's a whole lot sturdier. And over time, you're not going to go anywhere. Over time, you're going to be settled. Over time, you're now usable to God. But some of you haven't taken that first step, except that Christ is your Savior. So you're useless to God. What are you going to do with a word from God, Christian? Christian young person, if you can read, you have no excuse. Old people? Older people, I should say old people. What are you going to do with a word from God? What are you going to do with a word from God? Here's Jeremiah, preaches for 22 long years. He was mistreated. In chapter 20, it says that he was beaten and shackled. In chapter number 26, he was given a death sentence. In chapter number 38, he was thrown in a mud pit, never to be seen again. And God said, I've still got something for you to do. I've still got something for you to do. And you may be here sitting this morning, I'm just a kid. God can use young people. God, I don't know what God can do with me. But if you'll begin to add some things to your Christian life, you'll be surprised what God can do through you. This morning, let me ask you, have you taken that first step and truly experienced life? Have you truly experienced life? Or maybe you're sitting this morning and you're not sure you're going to heaven. And my friend, that is a scary thought. I said yesterday, this may be your last 5 minutes. How sad. If this was your last 5 minutes, I read you that poem yesterday about Jenny. What if you had been Jenny? What if you had been the one that had died in that car crash? Where would you be right now? Would you be in heaven? Or would you be in hell? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to press you. I'm trying to provoke you to think that this is a very serious matter that's going to last for an eternity. Have you taken that first step to accept life? And then, Christian, what are you going to do from a word with God? Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you spend time with God this morning?